And our first reading today is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 19 through 29. Thank God because he's good, because his love never quits. Tell the world, Israel, his love never quits. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. This temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Salvation now, God, salvation now. Oh, yes, God, a free and full life. Blessed are you who enter into God's name. From God's house we bless you. God is God. He has bathed us in light. Festoon the shrine with garlands. Hang colored banners above the altar. You're my God, and I thank you. Oh, my God, I lift high your praise. Thank God he is so good. His love never quits.
For us, everything that happened so far is biblical history. It took place in the time of Jesus. Can you imagine how the rumor spread after these crucial days in Jerusalem? It is now much later, and the Apostle Paul, somewhere in Greece, was writing to the Philippians to try and make sense out of everything that was said to have happened in Jerusalem. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Here ends our scripture reading. Jesus and his disciples were entering Jerusalem for the very last time before the crucifixion, and they were part of the throngs of people moving into Jerusalem for the Passover, singing psalms and songs of joy. And in the process, many people recognized Jesus, focused on him, and spread their cloaks and palms on the road and began cheering him with shouts like, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord? This was high praise for an ordinary man, in their view, riding on a donkey. Now, have you ever wondered? I know I grew up with the word Hosanna, even in my mother tongue. It's nothing else. We say Hosanna. I never thought what does it mean? Yeah, it's a sort of a cheer. It's something that you say. I don't know what I thought, but one thing is for sure, I never really went in, what does this word mean? Now, in the mother tongue of Jesus, the Aramaic language, closely related to the Hebrew language, it is indeed a cry for salvation. One could say that the crowd was chanting, please save, save please, save now. That would be a literal translation from the Aramaic. Now, in the Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written, it is a cry of praise or adoration. So, in history and tradition, these two concepts became blended in one. They were therefore not only cries of exuberant praise, but within it was contained another cry, help us, oh save us, help us now. Now, some say that this was exactly where the trouble really started, and where the enemies of Jesus got the excuse to call him a rabble-rouser and to alert the Romans of what he was doing. And in tradition again, since then, all Christianity marked this strange procession into Jerusalem as the official beginning of the Passion of Jesus. So much so that this day, it is not only called Palm Sunday, it is also called Passion Sunday. So today, we do celebrate Palm Sunday in its fullest meaning as Passion Sunday. This Jesus was a remarkable person on earth. He was accepted and admired by rough fishermen. Women followed him wherever he went. He was a most popular figure throughout Palestine. The mass of people listened to him with great delight. And no wonder then that the religious establishment responded just in an opposite way. They responded with fear and with hatred. There were so many in those days who were ready to proclaim him king. And his popularity was so great that it was in the dark of night in a secluded place that the soldiers had to arrest him. If they had tried to arrest him in broad daylight, as he taught in the temple, for instance, there probably would have been a riot, an uprising from the people. Make no mistake, in those days, Jesus was a hero, a real hero, a man, I would say, who would get our vote today, a man worthy of all the praise that he receives. But then we also have to consider that we need to recognize that if Jesus had only been a popular hero, his life would have no relevance for us today. Nothing, none at all. Even in our times, heroes come and go all the time. Oh yes, they inspire us and they challenge us, but soon afterwards they are forgotten and we hear their names hardly anymore. And Jesus was unique in many different ways. He was unique because he chose obedience to God over earthly glory, the earthly glory that so many people were ready to bestow on him. What made him unique was the fact that he chose to kneel in a garden and from the fear, the angst in his soul to pray, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And then in still silent acceptance, yet Father, not what I want, but what you want. Many of those who gathered there to watch Jesus die also shared experiences and memories of happier days. And if you could analyze the crowd around the cross, who would you find there? A bunch of people to whom he gave new dignity. A dignity that they never had before. Oh, you'll see them around the cross, the prostitutes, thrown out of society, those whom he brought back into the fold, the despised tax collectors, unpopular with everybody, but at the cross, at the foot of the cross, where their master died. You will find there the disenfranchised whom he fed, the poor, and many, many in those days who discovered in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. New beginnings 2,000 years ago. And I can tell you, in our times, it's still happening. There are many, many new beginnings at the foot of the cross. I consider it a rare privilege that for decades I had the privilege to stand in pulpits here and other parts of the world and to see and to witness how people find new life, how they discover to see beyond the horizon in the footsteps of Jesus. Those who were gathered around the cross in those days, and many of us are gathered this way, close to the foot of the cross. Because there are, in this beautiful sanctuary, there are persons who have been touched by Jesus as well. Many a heart mended after being broken. Many a home restored when it had nothing left in it anymore. Many a hand steadied. Many a life renewed. And that's why so many of us came this morning, because we've experienced what it means to touch the face of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why we came. That's why we gather here. That's why they gather across the world. So many people no longer surrounding the terrible old cross, but saying across the world, He lives, He lives. My Savior lives today. I know He lives. He lives within my heart. That's the strongest witness I will ever have. Was Jesus then a hero? Yes, He was a hero. Was He a martyr? Oh yes, He was also a martyr. That's true. But much more for you and me, for so many through the centuries, He is the living Savior of all times. And the highest praise possible come from the mind and the heart of Paul when he write, because of the obedience of Jesus to God, God lifted Him high and honored Him far beyond anyone and anything. That is the one whom we say Hosanna to today. Glory, glory. Save, keep, hold me even during the darkest nights of my life. Now, you know history will know that in those days, 2 centuries before Jesus, there was another hero. Homer, the Greek writer, tells a lot about him. And poets and preachers have sung the glory. The reason why I'm mentioning him is because Jesus died when he was 33. And this man also died when he was 33. Two dynamic young men, and they had only one thing in common. They both died when they were 33. The one was Jesus of Nazareth. The other one was Alexander the Great. Alexander was the king of Macedonia, who conquered the whole Persian Empire in the 4th century before Christ. The mightiest ruler of olden times. Alexander lived a privileged life. He was a man of great wealth and power. He was a military conqueror, and to this day, they are still studying methods of war that he devised. He was nearly invincible. And history tells that there came a time in the life of Alexander the Great that he openly wept because there were no more worlds left for him to conquer. History tells us that's true. He died when he was 33, a helpless, hopeless alcoholic. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self, the other for you and me. The Greek died upon a throne. The Jew died upon a cross. One's life a triumph seemed, the other's but a loss. One walked with mighty men, and the other walked alone. One shed the whole world's blood, the other gave his own. Jesus and Alexander both died at 33. The Greek died at Babylon. The Jew at Calvary. Alexander declared himself to be a god. Jesus glorified God. Alexander lived to destroy and rule. Jesus brought new life and a better tomorrow for all. When died the Greek, forever died his throne of swords. When died Jesus, forever death was no more. So today we celebrate his entry into Jerusalem. But more than that, we celebrate his entry in our lives, in your life and in mine, because many of us had a time in our lives when we simply said, "Come into my heart. Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Into my heart, Lord Jesus." So as we enter this week of passion and remembrance, our hearts will be moved. Oh, I was only working on this morning's service when I shed the first tears, when I selected our closing hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let us always seek your favor. Let us always do your will. Jesus Christ, our only Savior, with your love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have loved us. Love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have loved us. Love us still. Amen.